This is Arkies in the Beltway, your look at national politics and the Arkansans influencing the discussions. I'm Alex Thomas, Washington correspondent for the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, reporting from the nation's capital. Thank you for joining us for this episode of Arkies in the Beltway for the week of May 11th, 2025. House Republicans continue their work on a budget package, hoping to combine actions reducing the deficit with an extension of the 2017 tax law. The House Natural Resources Committee has approved its portion of the plan after a lengthy markup session last Tuesday, lasting into the late evening hours. Representative Bruce Westerman of Hot Springs serves as chair of the committee, which has jurisdiction over matters involving energy production and extraction.
We're working to bring production back to America, where we do it more safely, cleanly, and efficiently than anywhere else in the world.
The committee had to come up with a plan reducing the deficit by $1 billion over the next decade. Members laid out legislation reaching this goal primarily through oil and gas lease sales and lower royalty rates, with hopes of encouraging domestic energy production with these actions. House Republicans are additionally using the plan to push for restoring canceled leases and resuming sales in Alaska's National Petroleum Reserve. Westerman says the legislation will result in $18.5 billion in savings and new revenue.
We're delivering on the American people's mandate to restore common sense to the federal government and stop the fiscal bleeding.
California Representative Jared Huffman led the Democratic charge against the legislation. The committee's top Democratic member, Huffman argued the legislation would result in fewer federal protections for the sake of boosting fossil fuel companies and enriching the wealthiest Americans.
We're considering the most extreme anti-environment bill in American history. It's not about deficit reduction. It's about powerful groups that fund GOP campaigns, and they have decided this is the moment to strike.
During last Tuesday's markup, New Mexico Democrat Melanie Stansbury questioned if the committee's language is even germane. The reconciliation process limits lawmakers to only legislation with an impact on taxes and government spending.
I believe that the parliamentarian is going to see through this secret plot that's happening here, because I do believe that the parliamentarian has eyeballs and can read, and the language is very clearly not budgetary language.
Committee Republicans received further blowback for a last-minute amendment allowing the sale of public lands in Utah and Nevada. Members first saw the 33-page amendment toward the end of their markup. Westerman himself faced criticism during the hearing, and not just for the legislation. Arizona Democrat Yasemin Ansari drew attention to Westerman's most recent financial disclosure report, where Westerman noted more than 100 stock purchases, including shares of energy companies like Chevron and ExxonMobil.
The corruption that is occurring is astounding. Not only will these billionaires and the CEOs of these companies be profiting, but the chairman of the committee responsible for overseeing this jurisdiction will also be profiting from these giveaways.
Speaking with the Democrat Gazette after the markup, Westerman explained an investor had made changes to the congressman's investment account without his input. Once Westerman realized what had happened, he worked to move the investments back into an IRA. The House Budget Committee will be responsible for reviewing the committee's legislation when it assembles the reconciliation package. Staying with Westerman for a moment, the congressman led the charge on the House floor to formalize President Donald Trump's executive order renaming the Gulf of Mexico.
The Gulf of America is critical to the United States because of its energy resources and ecological significance. This renaming symbolizes Republicans' commitment to putting America first and honors the Gulf of America's important role in unleashing American energy and our nation's return to greatness.
The House approved a bill last Thursday formalizing the name change in a vote largely along party lines. Only one Republican member, Nebraska's Don Bacon, opposed the measure. Trump signed an executive order on his first day in office, renaming the Gulf as the Gulf of America. Westerman leading the floor effort as the matter falls within the authority of the House Natural Resources Committee. Georgia Republican Marjorie Taylor Greene introduced the bill. The House will continue reconciliation work in the new week when the biggest markups will start Tuesday evening. The House Agriculture Committee has the task of finding $230 billion in deficit reductions. Much of the attention pre-markup has been on what the committee may propose concerning SNAP, the nutrition assistance program commonly referred to as food stamps. Representative Rick Crawford of Jonesboro serves on this committee. The House Intelligence Committee criticizing the FBI for the agency's investigation and assessment of the 2017 congressional baseball shooting. The committee released a report contending the FBI did not do a thorough job investigating the attack, further arguing the agency was wrong with its early assessment of the shooting being a suicide by cop. Four people, including Republican leader Steve Scalise, were shot in the attack, which happened during a practice for the annual congressional baseball game. Crawford, who serves as House Intelligence Committee chair, says lawmakers have been trying for almost 8 years to get information regarding the FBI and its investigation.
There's no reasonable or acceptable explanation for why the FBI stonewalled the committee for so long. In fact, it's taken so long to get this case filed, many of those members at the field on that fateful day are no longer in Congress.
FBI Director Kash Patel in March agreed to provide the House Intelligence Committee with case information. The committee argues the shooting was an example of domestic terrorism, noting the FBI's own information indicating the shooter planned the attack to target Republican lawmakers. We are less than 18 months away from Election Day 2026, and Senator Tom Cotton has started his pursuit for a third term in a strong position. Cotton of Little Rock soundly defeated Democrat Mark Pryor in the 2014 midterms. 6 years later, he cruised to victory in his first re-election bid. Cotton's national stature has only grown during his time on Capitol Hill, and his campaign has millions of dollars in its reserves. The daunting task of facing a Republican incumbent in a GOP stronghold, however, is not scaring one farmer from Northeast Arkansas. Hallie Schaffner is a farmer whose family has maintained an operation near Newport for six generations. She is planning to challenge Cotton next fall as the Democratic candidate.
Me running for U.S. Senate is about stepping in where I think I can make the most good, which is let's bring real life to D.C. because that voice is missing. It does matter.
Schaffner has helped manage her family's 2,000-acre operation since her return to Arkansas in 2016. The 37-year-old enjoyed her time leading the farm, but she faced the same financial pressures shared among farmers across the country. Producers have struggled to keep up with rising input costs and an outdated farm safety net. In February, Schaffner and her family agreed to close their farm. The next month, Schaffner watched as people bought her family's farm equipment.
I worked really hard, and I played by the rules, but ultimately I didn't succeed.
Schaffner shared her family's story in late March during a public forum in Little Rock. Organizers invited Cotton to the event, as well as Senator John Bozeman and Representative French Hill. None of the lawmakers attended the forum. A month and a half since sharing her story, Schaffner now finds herself preparing to run for public office.
At the end of the day, you know, after we experienced, closing the farm, closing the books out, auctioning off the equipment, I felt like if I can't farm, I need to take my experiences and fight for other farmers and other people that live in farming communities and other people that have just experienced what I've experienced, which is economic pain.
Schaffner will unofficially launch her campaign this Wednesday with a meet and greet in Fayetteville, and she likely will not be the only Democrat with sights on defeating Cotton. Democratic Party of Arkansas Chair Grant Tenniel telling the Democratic Gazette he anticipates a contested primary, with more candidates expected to make their intentions known in the coming months. As for Cotton himself, campaign advisor Brian Colas says the senator is looking forward to an engaging campaign and focusing on the issues that matter most to Arkansans. And that'll do it for this edition of Arkies in the Beltway for the week of May 11th, 2025. You can stay up to date with all news involving Arkansas at arkansasonline.com. Special thanks, as always, to the team down in Little Rock. I'm Alex Thomas, and this has been Arkies in the Beltway. Thanks for listening.